This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
And Terang does square, gets a bump down. Here comes Dan. He scores! A squeeze bunt walk-off for Bryce Terang. And the Brewers win 3-2 in 11.
Was a beautiful thing yesterday. Brewers take that series after getting swept by the Yankees. Now it's the Reds tonight. Nestor Cortes going against Nick Lodolo for the Cincinnati Reds. Now being joined by Odyssey MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls are presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Click, call Grainger.com or just stop by. Follow Bob Nightingale on Twitter at @BNightingale. Also, of course, with the USA Today. Bob, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure, Frankie.
All right, man. So you started a whole big storm here in Milwaukee, talking about the fact that there's some owners kind of trying to get together here and wanting to see the Brewers owner become commissioner. Now, those of us that are old like me, we've went through this once before when Bud became commissioner and Wendy Seelig-Preeb eventually took over for the Brewers. I guess I want to first know, like, how did this all start going and building as far as, because we're talking, what, 2029 for Rob Manfred? I feel like we're early in the game for this.
Oh, very much early. I mean, there's no clear-cut favorite. There's no natural successor, like when, you know, when Manfred took over for Bud Selig. So a lot of people will say, you know what, we'd rather have an owner in there in place. And Mark Hanson also is very popular among owners. His name was brought up, you know, the last time when Manfred came in.
He interviewed the last time.
Actually interviewed. So, you know, now they're saying, you know what, let's say, you know, we can like to recommend him, see if he wants to do it, you know, in time. I mean, you're still, like you say, you're still talking about at least 3 years before your name's really out there.
No, the other part about this is when Bud was at that point, because they're not going to allow you to own a team necessarily, so Bud eventually had to give up to Wendy Seelig-Preeb, who also had Laurel Preeb with her, who had been in the organization forever. But they were grown people. Not to say that when you're in your 20s, you're not grown, but you're not grown like they were at that point to be ready to run an organization. That would be my one hitch in the giddy up for all of this would be, you know, would he be convinced that his kids were ready to run this thing if he were to step aside to go be commissioner?
Yeah, that's a big step. You're right. I mean, still in their 20s. So, yeah, I mean, it would be a massive step. You know, Minnesota Twins tried that with the Polad grandson, Joe, running it. And, you know, here we are about 2 years after he took over. You know, now they're still on the team completely.
That's pretty crazy. Bob Nightingale joining us again. Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. There are a lot of people that think we're headed for a work stoppage here after these next two seasons, December of 26. Is the main point in all of this going to simply be trying to get a cap done or trying to change the dynamics of, you know, the worst of the worst salary cap wise versus the top of the heap, like the Dodgers, who are undefeated at this point?
Yeah, I mean, just when you have the Mets and the Dodgers, you know, over $300 million dollars, and seven teams are under $100 million. Just such a big disparity gap, and so this has been going on for a while, but now it's like people are really starting to get upset about it. We'll see what happens. Come postseason time, World Series time, that sort of thing. But I think they say, we're the only sport without a salary cap. We like to have one in there, including a salary floor. And, so far the players have always said it's not happening. It's never going to happen in our sport. So we'll see what happens 2 years from now.
Bob, I would love to have a conversation with somebody. I know you can get it done. You know everybody. I think you just do this the way the NBA does it to a degree, which is you get extreme aprons at different levels of the luxury tax. You get through the first apron. This is the tax. This is what comes along with it. If you get to the second apron, now you start getting limited to what you can do in the offseason. The taxes become even more at that point, and you have to be willing to play the game. I mean, I know firsthand here with the Milwaukee Bucks, they were flirting with that second tax apron and not wanting to be a part of it, because if they were, they would really be limited to what they could do transactional-wise going forward to help make this team any better. I think that would help. I think the second part of it would then be create that floor of, say it's $100 million or whatever, and then say of the revenue share money that comes from these luxury tax payments, it goes to the bottom, 10 teams, bottom 12 teams in Major League Baseball, and a certain percentage of that money has to go towards payroll for the following year.
Yeah, I mean, they have it in there. You're supposed to spend, times and a half of what you get for your revenue sharing money. But, Oakland A's, forced to finally start spending. You're not seeing it in Pittsburgh. So number of teams that are getting revenue sharing money aren't putting that kind of money into it. I think maybe the only way to do it is, obviously money is not a deterrent, is that maybe, draft picks. Hey, if you go over a certain threshold, you're not drafting until the third round. Those draft picks are valuable. So something along those lines, you're stripped of a first-round draft pick. Because right now, guys like Steve Cohen, even though the Mets lost over $200 million last year, it doesn't bother them. I mean, the Dodgers aren't losing money. They're, making a killing. And they could have a $600 million payroll if they wanted to and still make this thing work.
This is the other thing. We start talking about salaries and where we are. So we know the Mets and Dodgers are at the top. How does the Central look? Obviously, the Cubs are at the forefront, would be my guess. What's that number?
Yeah, the Cubs are around the 195. So about $80 million more than the Brewers. Brewers are at 115. Brewers, I think, are 23rd in baseball. Cubs are about 8th or 9th in baseball. Then it drops down. I mean, it drops down to like the Cardinals, I think, around 140. Seems like the Brewers, the Pirates, the Reds are right around the same as the Brewers are, right around 115 too. So there's a lot of parity in that division money wise, except for the Cubs. Same thing the AL Central, same thing. But for the NL West, it could be it's a nightmare. But for a team like the Colorado Rockies, even Arizona, who's got a $185 million payroll. The Dodgers have over $300 million payroll.
From a Brewers fan standpoint, it's, we go to the playoffs every year. Yeah, that's great. And then we lose in the first round and we go home. And people are frustrated and getting angry by the fact that they don't feel like the Brewers ownership is doing enough to push chips in to try and make this a team that legitimately can go compete for a World Series. But is that an unfair argument based solely on payroll?
It probably is because, nobody sees the books. Obviously, they have a small TV revenue. It's not the smallest in baseball like it used to be, but still very small. You can draw as many fans as you want. Brewers, do well there. But, where the big money is, TV. And that's the thing where Rob Manfred wants to come in and say, wait a minute now, let's start sharing the TV money. I don't think you'll ever have the big boys jump in there. I don't see the Yankees, the Red Sox. The Dodgers sharing their money with the Brewers and Kansas City Royals, but everybody else can kind of share their money, and see what happens there.
Talk with Bob Nightingale, Odyssey MLB Insider, USA Today. Follow him on Twitter at B Nightingale. You talked about the Cubs having far and away more money on the payroll than anybody else in this division. How much pressure is there on Jed Hoyer really down in Chicago to get it done this year? I mean, if they were to finish, you know, back in the division race like last year, they finished 10 games back in the division race of the Brewers. If that were to happen again after giving Council, who I like to call the traitor, all that money, is Hoyer going to be looking for work? Are they going to make wholesale changes in Chicago if this doesn't work again?
Yeah, I mean, they have to make the playoffs. If they don't, some heads are going to roll in the front office. You know, not Craig Counsell's, but the front office, it will. So, you know, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, even Chicago, the fans there are upset they're not spending more money, you know, just because it's such a huge market there. And they could probably easily have, you know, a $250 million payroll and be fine. But, you know, they're spending a lot of money around the field, you know, renovations and all the rooftops, restaurants, that sort of thing. So, but I think the ownership are saying, wait a minute now, we still have the number one payroll by far in the division. You know, it's a little embarrassing when they haven't won a playoff game since, what, 2017?
Especially when you've got the highest paid manager, or at that point, the highest paid manager in Craig Counsell on top of everything else. Bob, thank you so much for coming on, man. Truly appreciate it.
All right, my pleasure. Take care.